How was your Thanksgiving? Did you enjoy family and friends? Because, you know, basically there's a Thanksgiving that happens with the Lord too. And we'll look at some of that today. We'll look at some of that as we go through here. But what I want to look through first is this thing, this first concept that comes out of John 10. John 10, verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And the stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. It is interesting that reality is, for the sheep, their only responsibility is to know the voice of the shepherd. Their only responsibility, when it's time to move up from the valley to the high places, their only responsibility is to stay near to the shepherd, to know his voice, and to stay with him. Because as they know his voice and stay with him, then there's something that happens. Because that is what enters them into the safety and the sanctuary that he provides. See, well, we think that when the sheep are in that lush, low valley, that's the best place that they can be, but there comes a time in the development of the sheep's life where this lush, low valley is simply not going to be enough to bring them into maturity. Because while it is a place where they can eat freely of the abundance that is there, is also a place of great danger, because the enemy has the advantage because he can see over them. Because see, when you're in the valley, the enemy will hide in the crags above you. So what happens there is, as the sheep begin to know his voice and they begin to follow him and follow him only, they're kept safe because he, the shepherd, at the right moment will lead them up out of the valley and into the high places. And as he leads them into the high places, that's the place where their coat will actually develop, because they have need of it because it's cold. And they will come into a maturity, and their body will begin to respond to the high place. They will begin to take on the qualities of one who's been in the high places. And so it's important for us to know the voice of our shepherd, so we can take on the qualities of those who have been in the high place. Because as we take on the qualities of those who have been in the high place, there is a change in our direction. There's a change in our maturity. There's a change that happens because now we're responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit within. See, because the voice of another we will not follow. See, if we're following the voice of another, we're often following the voice of the accuser. And you will know that by condemnation and shame, false guilt. You'll know that by the deception that is always around the voice of the accuser. The voice of another comes to take you out of the rest that God is providing you. It comes to remove you from the high place that God wants to establish you. See, God wants to establish you in the high place. But see, when the voice of another comes, he's not interested in establishing you in a high place. He's interested in stealing, killing, and destroying. And that's what happens. See, circumstance is the voice of another. Something that I've said many times, but circumstance is a false prophet. See, because circumstance wants to prophesy to you something that the Word does not agree with. It wants to prophesy to you something that is not who you are in Christ. It wants to make things look different than they are. You know, it doesn't really matter what the circumstance, when there's an adverse circumstance in our life, it doesn't matter what the adverse circumstance is. The enemy wants to make it look like it's the whole thing, and that you are the worst possible scenario is the only scenario that could possibly happen here. You know, there's the, and I've shared this one before, but we all there were nights when I had lost my job that I would wake up thinking, you know, I'm living under a bridge and no one will help me. And see, I know that not to be true because Veronica says she'll help me. But see, that's not what the voice is telling you. The voice is taking to the worst case scenario, and it's telling you only the worst case scenario. And see, and if you begin to listen and hearken to that voice, you're hearkening to the voice of another. And that hearkening to that voice of another leads you to a place that God never intended for you to go. Because now then we'll start reacting out of our fear of that circumstance, which was never going to come about in the first place. And when we start reacting out of that fear, we start agreeing with the wrong thing in our life. You know, it's real possible for the Lord to lead you into His high place. And for you to touch that high place, for you to touch the love of God, for you to touch these things, and then for the voice of condemnation to come and say something to you, and then bam, you don't feel like you can go back there. But see, that's not who God created you to be. That's not what God is calling us to do. And it's not even truth. Because see, the voice of condemnation is speaking something that is basically a lie to start with. And so if we listen to the voice of condemnation, we won't enter back in. But if we stand firm in the faith of what God has told us, see, it's faith that breaks the veil. When we stand firm in faith, we'll go through the veil easily because, see, in faith, the water of the Word is already beyond the veil. It already breaks the plane of the veil for you. See, when we begin to distinguish between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of another, we can begin to follow only the one who is our leader. The one who is the shepherd, the one who cares for us. See, the voice of the Holy Spirit will always reflect love. The voice of the Holy Spirit will always lead you to life. It will lead you to fulfillment. I'm not saying that the voice of the Holy Spirit is always the easiest thing to hear or respond to. But I am saying that it's the one that will lead to a right choice. It will lead you to the correct choice. The voice of the Holy Spirit will always reflect the nature and character of Christ to you. And as He reflects the nature and character of Christ to you, that gives you the chance and the opportunity to begin to mimic what you're seeing and hearing. And as we begin to be able to mimic what we're seeing and hearing, we're transformed, as it says, from glory to glory. The images that we see and hear that are coming forth through the Holy Spirit will begin to affirm us in who Christ is in us. It will establish us in rest. See, the voice of another comes to steal you away from rest. If you ever noticed that it doesn't matter what the word or what the voice of another is saying, that it always takes you out of rest. Even if it's just the voice of busyness, if it's the voice of confusion, obviously, if it's the voice of condemnation, it takes you out of the place of rest. Why? Because the enemy knows if he can get you out of rest, then he can keep you discombobulated so the rest of what God has to say will not be heard. It amazes me how many things that you can say to someone and you're speaking truth to them and yet they don't hear it. Why? Because the voice of another has got their attention. And when the voice of another has our attention, we don't hear what God is speaking in our life. Because why? Because we're filtering it all through that other voice. Whether it was the voice of our circumstance, whether it was the voice of our own guilt or our own iniquity, whether it was the voice, it doesn't matter what that voice was, it only matters that it was there and it forms a veil of its own, taking you out of the rest. See, God designed us to follow after Him. Christ had one mission. One mission. His mission statement would look like this: I come to do the will of the Father. His mission was to establish the ministry of the Father to you. To introduce you to the Father, to bring you into an acquaintance with who the Father is and what He looks like. Because He knew if He could bring you into an acquaintance with who the Father is and what He looks like, you would quit falling for all the other things that the enemy was trying to put in front of you. See, they didn't know in the Old Testament, they didn't have the accessibility that we have. And so therefore, every distraction of the enemy became kind of fair game. And the only way that they had to reestablish that connection with the Father was through an offering or a sacrifice. But God hasn't called us to offerings and sacrifices. He's called us to relationship. That relationship is of greater value than all the offerings and sacrifices. That relationship happens out of the place of rest that the voice of another is wanting to steal you from. Relationship is established in rest. What do you mean by that? Well, when we are in the place of rest, now we can begin to hear what God is actually speaking into our lives. And as we hear what He's speaking into our lives, we can let that begin to shape us and define us in a new light. Not being defined by our works, not being defined by the things around us, but being defined by His Word and by the relationship and nature that we see in Him. See, the rest becomes a springboard to enter into all the magnificent things of God. It becomes a springboard to enter into not only just our salvation, but also the depth of relationship. The rest becomes a springboard to enter into the mighty works and understandings of God. The wisdom of God. See, John 17, and let's go over there for just a second. See, this is what I consider the Lord's Prayer, because it's by far and away the longest prayer that we see that we have recorded of what He said. But His final words in verse 26 is, I have made Thy name known and will make it known. Guess how He makes it known? By sending Holy Spirit. I've made Thy name known. In other words, I've demonstrated Your name to these people. And I will make it known by delivering Holy Spirit. Releasing Holy Spirit to make the name of the Father known. So I have made Thy name known, and I will make it known, that the love wherewith Thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. He first leads us to an acquaintance with the Father. He leads us to come into an acquaintance with the Father. And then as he leads us to come into acquaintance with the Father, then he begins to lead us into his grace and his favor, which take the form of his love. Because we can all easily imagine that the Father loves Jesus. He loves the one who is the Son. But there might be some days that we don't feel so lovable as that. But the Word says right here that you are as lovable as that. No matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you did the last week or last month or last year or a second ago, no matter what you just thought about your pastor, it doesn't matter because God says you're lovable. Now your pastor might have a different idea, but that's a different thing. God says you're lovable. And it is essential for us to understand that that was a grace that's made available to us by this acquaintanceship that Christ created and introduced us to. He introduced us to the Father. It's his first ministry. It's his greatest ministry. It was the whole purpose of doing the will of the Father, because the will of the Father was for you to become a son or a daughter. He wanted to introduce you to this place that we have in him, so that we begin to view the world from a standpoint of somebody who is an heir and not just an orphan. Because if we'll view the world as an heir, the dynamic of how we walk will shift. It will change. Hallelujah. Something that LaRue said is that we, and I'm just going to just repeat it because imitation is a sincerest form of flattery, but we don't work for love. We don't work for love. We don't work for love. We just simply enter into it. Now, if you're a doer, if you're one who's all about your performance, that's probably the hardest thing in the world to do, just to enter into it. You mean I don't have to do 15 Hail Marys? Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't say that, did I? Erase that from the. I don't have to do something. I just enter into it. How can that be? By the grace of God. By grace through faith. That's what grace through faith purchases for you. It's already been done for you. The love has been established for you because God says you're lovable. And because you're lovable, he established a means for you to be able to find it and receive it. Yes. Find it and receive it. Last week we talked about being made in his image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, there are, in two verses it's mentioned three times that we're made in his image. When we see something said three times, it must be important. And we're made in his image, and because we're made in his image, there's something that we need to understand about ourselves in that process. If you're made in his image, he created you with value. Now, if I just hush my mouth and don't say nothing else, right there, that one statement, you've been served a meal. You have value. See, we're all in a struggle to understand our own value. So many of the things that we do wrong were simply an attempt to establish our value. And it doesn't matter what that thing was. It only matters what the thing that's really important is for us to begin to understand the value that we have in Him. Now, a minute ago, I said if I hush my mouth, I'm a pastor, so I can't hush my mouth. So you do understand that, I hope. But that doesn't change your value. So your value was established in Him because your value, how many of you are bargain shoppers? How many of you wanted to look for something on Black Friday? Even whether you didn't go out or not, you know, some of you might not be brave enough to, but everybody, how many of you actually are a bargain hunter? You want to look for a deal. You know, you want to buy that piece, that article of clothing, but you don't necessarily want to pay full price. When you go to buy a car, you want a big discount. Why? Because, see, it has to do with the value. You only pay for something that has value. Christ died for you. He paid it all. Everything He could pay. That's how your value is established. He valued you. He's a bargain hunter. He looked through all the places that could be looked through and He established value. He said, that's worth everything. Yolanda's worth everything. Mike's worth everything. He establishes a value. See, when we live from the place called done, remember we've talked about the place called done. When it's done in you, then it's established. Value is established in the place called done. When it's done, then it is like we demonstrated with Steve, it is your identity is set in the things God said about you. Even as your own name is set in your understanding. And somebody can't shift you out of your name just because they decide to rename you. They can't shift you out of your identity because they decide to rename you. Because why? Because your identity is already set. You're firmly fixed in it. That's what it means to be in a place called done. Well, value is established. Value is concreted in the place called done. When value is established, it changes the dynamic of what we're doing. This applies to everybody, but maybe even men in particular. But men and you know, people are always concerned with trying to prove their value. We all, at some level, have tried to prove our value. But instead of having to prove our value, we can just be valued. That's what Christ is looking for. Because if I'm not proving my value, I'm not doing things to earn this love that I have. I just recognize I have enough value that God can love me freely because He values me. When I recognize that, then I can recognize that because I have value, I have free access to the one who loves me, to the one who cares about me, to the one who longs to be with me. And that way, I will no longer be undervaluing or being unworthy of His presence. See, when I begin to value myself properly, now I'm not seeking external things to value me, and in fact, I can actually be safe. Because if I'm valued properly, I am already by nature safe in Him. Hallelujah. And when I'm valuing myself properly, I can now be freely able to impute value to another. I can't give away something I don't have. But if I have value within myself, if I have an understanding of who I am in Christ, if I am walking in the love that comes with being valued, now I can release that to another because I actually have something to give away. Otherwise, you're drawing from an empty tank. If you're drawing from an empty tank, not good things, that creates a vacuum. Guess who steps into a vacuum? Back to the voice of another. See, when I'm valuing, I don't need to drag somebody else down. If I have value, I can impute value to someone else. I can look for ways to bring value to their life. When I look for ways to bring value to their life, now then, instead of dragging them down, I'm looking for ways to encourage and lift up. Ways to bring them in instead of down. It comes from having value. See, a while ago we talked about being able to instead of having to prove our value. You realize that the two leading causes of divorce are sex and money. Both of those are attempts to create value in a wrong way. If I am valued, I no longer have to look to those mechanisms to establish my value. I can be assured of my value and release value to someone who loves me. When I perceive value, then I can actually begin to engage with trust. I can engage my Heavenly Father with trust because of this value that He's placing in my life. That trust, when trust is engaged, it opens the way to an embrace in the Father. When trust is established, it opens the way to embrace. Something happened at the fall. When Adam partook of the fruit, something changed. Something was broken in that moment. What came in was not only sin, but because of sin, separation came. That separation broke off the thing that was most precious. It created a gap between us and the Father. Separation basically made sure then that we could not come into the fullness of rest. We talked last week that that was where fear came in, because the very first response of that separation was for man to fear God. When we find fear in our life, unless it's the organic, authentic kind of fear, which is causing you to get out of the way of a moving bus. If you see a car coming and you're standing in its way, move. That's a legitimate fear. Every other kind of fear that you feel is only a result of the separation. When fear comes like you're standing in front of a moving car target or moving bus or a car, that fear, that's a primary issue, that's a primary emotion, and it's caused, and it's there for a good reason of self-protection. But most of the fear that we feel can even be a secondary emotion, because it's related to our worth, our value, and things like that. And so when we experience one of those kinds of fear, that fear was only available to us because of the separation. So what God is looking to do is reestablish us in this relationship. When we understand our value, it draws us back into a place of trust. When we understand and have a place of trust, then the relationship, and because of things Christ has already done and established, there's no separation. One of the ways that you can begin to enforce that is what we experienced this weekend, which is simply being thankful. Go with me to Colossians 3. See, a thankful heart is a heart that can trust. Verse 15 of Colossians 3 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," or to be governor, "to which you were indeed called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, through Him, to God the Father." So giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Again, we have something mentioned three times in three verses. Thankful. See, thankfulness is a key to engaging what God has provided for you. Thankfulness is one of the ways that we can engage what has been done for us. We can engage it because as we're thankful of it, it causes us to meditate upon that which is good. It causes us to meditate upon that which we've received, the blessing that we have received. Instead of being aware of the separation, we're now being aware of the relationship. As we enter into thankfulness, that causes us to close the gap because trust is established again. Thankfulness will cause you to enter into a rest, no longer having to seek after your own because you realize you already have it. So much of what we're doing, you know, when I was lost, most of what I was doing was looking for something that I already had. I remember going to a conference. It was a first of the year conference, and I'm looking at all these people who are wonderful Christians, I am sure, but they're all there looking and they're clamoring for something that God already gave them inside. And they didn't know. But thankfulness helps you to draw it out. Thankfulness helps you to meditate upon those things that are good and wonderful. It helps you to come into a place of agreement with what God has established in your life. And as that happens, there's a thankfulness that, as that thankfulness happens, there's a release of trust. And there's a release of blessing in your life. See, thankfulness will cause us to recognize the blessing instead of the separation. Thankfulness will cause us to enter in and recognize what's been established for us, because as we recognize what has been established for us, we can begin to see ourselves with the value that Christ has. As we see ourselves in this value, His life is established. His love is established. His truth is established. The light of Christ is established. When light is established, life is established. John 1:4 tells us that in Him was life, and that life is the light of men. Well, the fruit of light, according to Ephesians 5 and 9, the fruit of light is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. When we're established in goodness, righteousness, and truth, that's the fruit of life. Those fruits begin to have a say in our destiny. And it starts with being thankful. If I choose to walk in the light as He walks in the light, I'm walking in something that's called an awareness of who God is. See, the light can be simply just referred to as the knowledge of God. Anything that's not the knowledge of God is darkness. So if I understand it's the knowledge of God, when I walk in the light as He walks in the light, I'm walking in a knowledge of the Father as Jesus walks. That establishes my fellowship. That establishes the blood over me that cleanses me. That becomes the armor of Romans 13 and 12. That becomes the armor upon me. Because if I will cast off the works of darkness, I can put on the armor of light. I can put on the armor of goodness, righteousness, and truth. But a thankful heart will bring me into that place. A thankful heart begins to establish these works in my life. And as I'm established in goodness and righteousness and in truth, when I'm established in righteousness, that means that I'm no longer beholding to the enemy. To be established in truth means that I'm no longer under the deception and the confusion of the voice of another. See, the voice of another wants to just speak lies into our life. And if we incorporate that into our belief system, it changes the direction that we go. When we incorporate truth in our belief system, it aligns the way that we go. The truth that we're seeking to set us free is not just a knowing of the facts. Because see, facts are not necessarily truth. And facts don't necessarily lead us to truth. Sometimes we have a question about what is truth. But truth is that which brings us into the knowledge of God. Truth is what establishes us in the character and in integrity of who God is. Truth is what establishes within us the freedom that has been purchased for us at the cross. See, Christ tells us in John 8 that to know Him is to know truth. And that's the truth that sets us free. We can go through our life looking to try to expose all the other things, but if we don't come to know Christ in that process, then we're not knowing truth. Knowing Christ is truth. As we begin to understand and know Christ, we'll begin to know our value. as we stay in an atmosphere of a thankful heart, that gives us the opportunity to rehearse. Instead of rehearsing the wrong things, we're being able to meditate the truth of what God has said, the right things. I can speak and tell you truth, but when we have a lie built into our system, a lot of times we don't hear the truth. The truth comes from an expression and a revelation of what Holy Spirit does inside you. So Holy Spirit, I just release an atmosphere for truth to be uncovered in each and every heart here. For truth to be set apart in their heart, to be sanctified in their hearts. That every lie and deception of the enemy become evident, and that the truth be established by your Holy Spirit, by your wisdom, by your guidance. Lord, we just surrender our hearts to you because that is wisdom. We engage with you because that is thankfulness, Lord. Because in the engaging with you, Lord, that is a recognition that what you have done for us is great and valuable. And we find value for ourselves in what we see you have done being reflected to us. We enter into an atmosphere of thankfulness, Lord, that releases the blessing of truth over our lives and in our lives. We thank you for the fullness of love coming forth, a fullness that comes out of an identity in you, and an identity released not by our circumstance, not by someone else's words, but by your truth. As we receive that identity released by truth, Lord, we let our heart become joyful in thankfulness. Lord, we give you all praise this day for that joy that is found in you. Amen. See, thankfulness will release joy. See, the voice of another wants to come and steal thankfulness. It wants to come and steal joy. It wants to come and steal peace. Because the voice of another wants to take you out of the place of rest. Thankfulness brings you back to the place of rest. Thankfulness brings you back to that which is natural to the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are parts of the kingdom. Those are part of your identity in the kingdom. Your identity is in righteousness. Your identity is in peace. Your identity is in joy. And when your identity is in those things, you are experiencing what is the release of love towards you. The manifestation, those things are the manifestation of love being evident in your life. Because why? Because that enters us into peace. It causes us to walk in a peace. It causes us to walk in an understanding of joy. Because see, joy doesn't come naturally from the circumstance. Sometimes joy is going to come from your heart. You can be thankful in an adverse situation. When you're thankful in an adverse situation, it's actually an act of intercession. When you become thankful in an adverse situation, that may be the very key that releases the blessing of God towards you and in you. As we become thankful in an adverse situation, it causes us to look and act different than our neighbor. And as Christians, we should look and act different than our neighbor, unless he's another Christian. I obviously hit a nerve there. I'm not sure why, but hallelujah. Just know that when I'm speaking these things, I'm not speaking it for the word of condemnation. I'm speaking it for a word of encouragement that we can be there. How's that? Because it's possible. Because it's not just possible. It's what happens as a result of thankfulness in our heart. It's what happens as a result of letting God show us the value that we have in Him. We're no longer left to our own devices to create it. We can be simply be valued. If I'm having to try to create my value, I'm going to do things that steal value from somebody else. But when I am valued, now I'm a reservoir of value to release to someone else. Again, it's not an issue of condemnation. It's an issue of hope. It's a release of truth. God has created us with an atmosphere and a heart that is designed for thankfulness. Because, see, that was the whole intention that He created man for in the garden, was to cause the garden to release praise. Praise comes from a thankful heart. There's not much praise in being in sorrow and in downcast and beat up and downtrodden. How does that release glory to God? Praise comes from a heart that is looking to the things, even if it's small things, to release thankfulness for. Because that's the thing that where God can now begin to work and create something different. When we're praising Him, that's thankfulness in expression, being expressed. The praise that He has will release a confidence in Him. Because it's really hard to praise God and see Him as greater than your circumstance and still be under the circumstance. When we begin to praise Him, we can begin to recognize the fullness that's given to us. Colossians 1:19 tells us that the fullness dwells in Christ. So when we're dwelling in Christ via the vehicle of praise, via the vehicle of thankfulness, now we're able to dwell with the fullness that we have available to us. As we dwell with the fullness, then we can begin to have that reflection of who He is into our circumstance. We have access to the fullness. We have access to this value that we have found in Him. We have access to this place where there is no fear. Lord, I just, right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every place in their lives that there has been a separation from You and Your truth. I cut off every part and everything that has been an area of separation, every bit of unworthiness, condemnation, guilt, and shame. all the pain that has caused separation, all the lies and deceptions that have caused separation. Lord, I break those things off of their life. And Lord, I call forth an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of worthiness, an atmosphere of esteem, an atmosphere of value in you. And I call forth an atmosphere over their lives of thankfulness, Lord, that will result, Father, in righteousness, peace, and joy being evident in them and through them. I thank you, Lord, that there's a power and an authority, Father, as we move into an atmosphere of thankfulness. I thank you there's a power and authority as we move into your praise, Lord, and as we move into an understanding of the value that you have in us and for us. Lord, we rejoice in this place of being valued by you. We rejoice in the love that we receive and the love that we're able to release, Father, because we have value in you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 When you step into the love of God, there's such an overflow into every area of your life. It leaks out into everything. It leaks out into your appreciation for others. It leaks out into your esteem for others. It also redefines how you see yourself. So I just encourage you this week, step into the love because it's been provided. The only thing standing between you and the fullness of God's love is simply the veil that you've allowed over your thought. God has already wrecked and ruined the veil. It's no longer there. If you choose by faith to step through, there's nothing that the enemy can do about it. You don't have to believe the voice of another. You can believe the voice of the shepherd. He's leading you into the high places. All we have to do is stay near to the shepherd.